Good morning. Welcome. It's a beautiful morning. If there's any visitors, welcome this morning. We hope you enjoy the service and come back to Bethesda. My name's Randy Toflin. I'm filling in for Pastor Jim this morning. It's our Synod Convention, so he and our delegates, Steve Long and Mary Kramer, are celebrating and getting renewed with the Synod this weekend. So I'm pleased to have you with us worshiping this morning. A few announcements to make. It's our first Sunday of the month, so the blessing box you'll find on the way out of church this morning. For those of you that are here regularly, you know we use our blessing box giving for some special projects around the church. So if you feel compelled to contribute and participate, the blessing box is on a stool in the back. Please look for the attendance registries along the aisles and make note of your attendants that are worshiping with us here this morning. Then if you take a moment to look at the announcements on the back of your bulletin, a couple things I'd point out would be the jelly making is coming up on May 11th, and looks like next Sunday we get to celebrate Irene's 98th young birthday. So we'll look forward to celebrating Irene's birthday next Sunday. With that, let's open with a word of prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for the refreshing rain overnight. Lord, you're such a big and personal God that we ask you to join us in this place today. We ask you to open our hearts and minds and leave renewed with your Spirit this morning. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We will start our service this morning by our opening hymn, number 820, O Savior, Precious Savior, number 820, and please rise on the singing of the last verse. Please turn to the Confession and Forgiveness found on page 2 of your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who calls us beloved children, who gathers us into one flock, who guides us into all truth. Amen. Let us confess our sins, trusting that God will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please take a moment for silent prayer. Faithful and just God, we confess that we are captive to doubt and fear, bound by the ways that lead to death. We have not loved our sisters and brothers as you have first loved us. Forgive us, God of mercy. Let your Holy Spirit work in us to change our lives and make us new, that we may know the abundant life given in Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent the Son to atone for our sins. In the name of Jesus Christ, I announce to you that your sins are forgiven. Let the perfect love of God cast out fear, fill you with joy, and inspire you to live for others. Amen. Please join me in the prayer of the day. O God, you give us your Son as the vine apart from whom we cannot live. Nourish our life in his resurrection, that we may bear the fruit of love and know the fullness of your joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated as our choir sings their song this morning.
Thank you. Our first reading today is one out of 1 John 4, 7 through 21. We love God and others because God first loved us. We cannot say we love God, whom we have not seen, while hating fellow Christians, whom we regularly see. Love towards God is to be matched by love towards others because the essence of God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do just testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God. They abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The psalm today is Psalm 22, 25 through 31, where you see the bold print respond with the print, and the bold are, read, all the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. From you who comes my praise in the greatly assembly, I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord.
The Lord shall eat and be satisfied. Let those who seek the Lord give praise. May their hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the family of nations shall bow before God.
For dominion belongs to the Lord, who rules over the nations. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord.
Indeed, all who sleep in the earth shall bow down and worship. All who go down to the dust, though they be dead, shall kneel before the Lord.
Their sons shall serve the Lord, whom they shall proclaim to generations to come.
They shall proclaim God's deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying to them, the Lord has acted. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
Today's gospel is from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. On the night of his arrest, Jesus taught his disciples about the relationship that would have with him. Those who abide in his word and love would bear fruit, for apart from him, they could do nothing. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, number 807, and we'll sing verses 1 and 3. 807, verses 1 and 3. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In this morning's Gospel, John writes about the night of Jesus' arrest and his teaching to the disciples at the Last Supper. When I read passages like this, I can't help but picture in my mind a trip that Lorena and I and several members of our family took to Israel a few years ago, and one of the places we visited is believed to be the upper room where Jesus and his disciples held this Last Supper. Of course, there's no absolute proof that this is indeed the room. One could argue that the historians have it all wrong and it exists for the tour guides to take people like us to go visit such a place. But I must say, when we were there, I did feel a deep closeness to Christ. Now, this room is nothing special. It's in an inconspicuous location in Jerusalem. It's empty of any furnishings. It's somewhat deteriorating. And while we were there, our family reverently reflecting on what may have taken place in this place, a stray cat even appeared out of nowhere and spent the rest of the time kind of wandering between our family's legs. But whether this was the actual upper room or not, I can tell you I felt Christ was abiding with me in that place that day. Today's gospel brings us back to Maundy Thursday and is John's account of Jesus preparing his disciples for his departure on the night he is betrayed. Jesus uses an easy-to-understand metaphor for his disciples, that of the vine and the branches. As is written in the first three verses of today's text, Jesus describes this new relationship with him as the vine and the branches. In this metaphor, Jesus, of course, is the vine. We, as his followers, are the branches, and God is the vine keeper. I'm sure this was an easy and simple metaphor for the disciples to understand because in Jesus' day, of course, vineyards were everywhere. But this is not what I'm going to focus on this morning. Rather, I'm going to concentrate on the remaining verses of today's scripture and this notion of abiding that Jesus speaks about. I'm not sure why God chose to emphasize this word abide when I was studying today's text, but it seemed every time I went back and read the text looking for some type of inspiration, there it was, this word abide just kept kind of jumping out at me. And initially, I felt this kind of confusing, because abide is not a word I often use. Let's face it, it's kind of an old word. I don't say things like, would you like to come for the weekend and abide with us? or I don't have this high degree of optimism for our Minnesota Gopher football team because Jerry Kill, the head coach, is abiding with the football team. It's not a word that I use. But this is where I felt the Spirit was directing me, so my journey began. One of the first things I did was to look up the meaning of abide. And here again, I found many of its uses obsolete. But as I continued to study and to focus on this word, abide, I came to realize it really is a word of action. Abiding has to do with persevering, enduring, continuing, lasting. The Greek translation refers to remain, to stay. I wonder the word abide is somewhat rare today. Its very meaning is somewhat rare today. To persevere, to continue, to last, to stay connected. Those things are unfortunately often rare today. But I think this is what Jesus was really saying here. Abide in me. Stay connected to me. Always stay connected to me, just as the branches are always connected to the vine. It seems to me that one of the challenges of our modern life is that we're more connected than ever. Yet it seems we feel ever more isolated. People have more friends than ever on Facebook, but fewer friends that we actually see and talk with in person. We're LinkedIn all over the place, yet rates of reported loneliness and depression are skyrocketing. We're connected to more sources of information and even amongst ourselves more than ever before with things like email and social media. Yet we seem to be drowning in that information while simultaneously starved for actual experience, particularly the experience of being in a real relation to be truly connected. I think this is part of the difficulties of living in our age. We're offered a lot of these things as substitutes, and while they do their job fairly well, what they're designed for, they're not actually relationships, and often I think they get in the way of abiding with God. I believe that abiding with God has to do with more of a concept of being than doing. Doing are things like reading the Bible, going to church, praying, witnesses, doing good works. And these are things that we should do as Christians. If we're not doing them, then our walk with God may suffer. However, if we're doing these things because we feel we're supposed to, we miss out on having this intimate relationship with Christ. If we're not careful, we can become more works-oriented than Christ-oriented. So I think to abide in Christ is to be in a being mode. We're still doing all those good things that God called us to do, but we're doing it more swimming in his Spirit. We're abiding in Christ as having an intimate relationship with him. The relationship is much more important than the things that we do or don't do. The more that we're abiding in him, the more we will be faithful. I believe we'll hear his voice clearer. We'll not be works-oriented, and we'll often have more peace in our life. So to abide is to experience God's presence. Now, for those of you sitting there wondering, is he saying that my good works and worshiping here on Sunday aren't important to my intimate relationship with Christ? Let me share this story. Once upon a time, a man dropped out of church. He figured he could worship God just as well on his own, spending time alone in his house, reflecting on Christ. A few weeks went by, and the minister came to visit. They sat in the living room by the fireplace, having small talk. Then the minister took the tongs and reached in, and he picked up one of the glowing embers from the fire, and he placed it on one side of the hearth. The two men watched without saying a word as the ember began to cool and lose its glow. A few minutes later, the minister picked up that dead ember with his fingers and tossed it back into the fire. Immediately, that ember came back to life. Without a word, the minister put on his coat and he started to leave, and the man walked him to the door and said, "That was one of your best sermons. I'll see you in church on Sunday." You see, abiding is a connection. It's our connection and our relationship to each other and in our community of faith, this church. And through a continuous personal connection to Christ, who will never leave us. Without that connection, we, the embers, as followers of believers, our personal connection with Christ is bound to glow dull. But abiding in Christ is a process, I think. We don't get there overnight. For me, I've found it to be an evolution, that lifetime spiritual journey that we often refer to. And for me, it's looked something like this. As a child, I was fortunate to grow up in a Christian home where my parents exposed me to the teachings of Christ. It would have been difficult for me to do this on my own, but through Sunday school and church, I was exposed to the lessons of Christ, and this structured learning was an important foundation for me. As I grew older and I moved away from home, I became more distant from my faith. I went to church occasionally with my parents, but mostly I was trying to figure out my way in this world. I certainly wasn't abiding with God, and my life was a bit of a wreck. Fortunately, I fell in love with a wonderful woman who valued faith in our lives, and together we began to put our own religious structure in our family. We were focused mostly on those doing type things that I referred to earlier, things like praying before meals and reading our kids' Bible stories and taking them to Sunday school and church. But as I grew older, next for me became an earnest, genuine interest to know Christ in a deeper way. I found things like carving out specific times to pray, studying the Bible, reading inspirational books was very important to my faith, and I began building a deeper relationship as part of that lifelong journey with Christ. But perhaps why God chose to shine this spotlight so brightly on the words "abide with me" today is because this is where I believe I'm currently striving for in my spiritual journey. Remember, I said earlier that to abide with God, we'll hear his voice clearer, we'll experience his presence, and ultimately we'll have more peace in our lives. Hearing God's voice, feeling his presence, having peace, those things sound like what I'm striving for as I work to abide with God. How about you? Before I close, some of you know I enjoy music, and I often think of a song as I'm going through an experience. Well, it won't surprise you when I tell you the name of the song that's been on my mind these past few weeks, but I'd like to tell you the history of that song, if I may. Henry Francis Light and his wife Anne were faithful pastors of a little fishing town in Devonshire, England, for 23 years. Although Henry's health was compromised, he worked tirelessly ministering to his parish, taking care of his family, writing poems and hymns. In 1844, Henry was diagnosed with tuberculosis, and over the next 3 years, his physical condition deteriorated until finally on September 4th, 1847, at the age of 54, he stood in the pulpit for the last time to deliver his farewell message. That same afternoon, after taking a walk on the beach, Henry retired to his room. He emerged about an hour later with a written copy of a song. It was entitled, was titled Abide With Me. He left soon after a trip to Italy to get away from the cold, damp coastal weather, and while en route to his destination, he mailed a revised copy of Abide With Me to his wife. A few days later, while resting in a hotel on the French Riviera, Henry went home to be with Jesus. A fellow clergyman who was with Henry during his final hours reported that Henry's last words were, "Peace, joy." Abide With Me was put to music by William H. Monk and made its debut at Henry's memorial service. In closing, I'd like to share one verse of that great hymn, as the words of this verse speak to me about God's ever-present connection and abiding with Him always. I need Thy presence every passing hour. What but Thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like Thyself my guide and stay can be? Through cloud and sunshine, Lord, abide with me. Amen. This time I'd ask our ushers to come forward as we join in singing hymn 689. Please rise and join me for the offertory prayer found on the top of page 5 in your bulletin. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Join me in the prayers of intercession. Confident that the resurrection of Christ has defeated sin and death, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and for all people. Please take a moment for silent prayer. For the mission of the church throughout the world, that all be led by the Holy Spirit to proclaim the good news that God is love, let us pray. for plants and animals, for clean water and air, for favorable weather, and for the whole of creation, that you guide us to serve as good stewards of the earth. Let us pray. For judges, lawyers, and all court officials, for the leaders of the government, and for all who seek justice in this world, that all be treated with fairness and equity, let us pray. For those who are poor, hungry, bereaved, distressed, and sick, though especially for those on your minds and hearts this morning, and for those who provide care and comfort, that all assurance of God's unending love for them, let us pray. For those who yearn for meaning and community with others, that the Holy Spirit lead them to mentors in the faith, for those visiting this congregation and for those who are away with family and friends, let us pray. In thanksgiving for the confessors of the faith in past generations, especially those who have died in the Lord, that they inspire future generations to proclaim the gospel, let us pray. Holy God, by the death and resurrection of your Son, you have granted new life, abundant renewal, and salvation. Hear our prayers for the sake of the one who has set us free, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sins by using the words of the Apostle Creed. I believe in God, the Holy, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. He was born by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again, living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. On this fifth Sunday after Easter, we celebrate communion using Jesus' words on the night he was betrayed. The same night, of course, of his teaching of the vine and the branches and abiding with him. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and gave it to all who drink, saying, "This is the cup in the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Please join me in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This morning, will we use the form of intinction, where we dip the bread into either the juice or the wine? If anyone has a gluten intolerance, please ask your server for a gluten-free wafer. At Bethesda, we welcome all to the table of our Lord. Please come. Please be seated. body is broken for you. His 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 body is broken for you, Irene. Is broken for you. His body 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 is broken for you. Is broken for you. His body is broken for you. This is juice. His body is broken for you. His body is broken for you. Is broken for you. His body 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 is broken for you. I don't know if they did Marlis or not. Marlis. They did. Did they do Marlis? Yeah, we'll get her. His body is broken for you.
Thank you.
Please rise and join me in the prayer after communion found on the bottom of page 6 of your bulletin. Life-giving God, we give you thanks for nourishing us with the bread of heaven and wine of love, Jesus, our risen Savior. As you send us into the world, guard us from the power of evil. Keep us in unity with all your word. And by your Spirit, move us to testify to your grace in our words and actions, through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who raised our Lord Jesus from death, lift you up and restore you to wholeness.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, the Word of life, bless you and send you to be his witnesses. Amen. God, the Holy Spirit, who renews the whole earth, refresh you in the gift of baptism this day and always.
Amen.
Go in peace. Share the good news. Hallelujah. We'll close by singing hymn 858, Praise the Lord, Praise to the Lord the Almighty, and we'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4. 858, verses 1, 2, and 4.